So we're on the love of God this Sunday, and I'm going to read you a couple of passages of Scripture that we've been kind of using as a text. First one, of course, is most of these passages of Scripture, to those of us who are Christians, are very familiar to you. John 3:16. For God so loved the world, that doesn't mean that He loved this planet that's floating around in space. That means that He loved the people on it. Amen? He loved us. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, so loved the world. We just don't have any idea how much that is, except He proved it by sending His only Son, who bore our sins in His body on the cross, shed His blood, so that God may have a relationship with us and that we could have a known relationship with Him. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And because God has given us the Ten Commandments in the law through Moses, and Jesus has enforced those and fulfilled those for us in the New Testament, and the law stands there for the purpose of revealing to us who we are without Christ, and also the law is there to reveal who we are in Christ. That's how we're saved. So in Deuteronomy 5:29, the Lord says of the children of Israel, and the Word of God says, because that is the Word of God, oh, that there were such a heart in them that they would fear me, Deuteronomy 5:29, that they would fear me. And the word fear here doesn't mean fear and tremble in the presence of God in the sense that you're afraid of Him. It does mean we do fear His judgment and that He is God, and one day we're going to have to stand before Him and give account of Him, that we stand in awe of Him. And keep all of my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. I like this verse and one other I'm going to read to you, because so many people think that God has given the Ten Commandments so that He could bring us in bondage, so that we would obey Him or mind Him or keep His commandments and do religious works by keeping the law and such things so that we might be saved. But that's not the reason He gave the law, necessarily. The Bible says He gave the law and He gave the Ten Commandments for us to keep, so that that it might be well with them, so that it might be well with those that keep His commandments, and with their children forever. Jesus said the same thing, because Jesus was God in the flesh in St. John chapter 15. And incidentally, we're going to be studying today. I'm going to be reading from St. John chapter 15 and 1 John chapter 4. But in 1 John and St. John chapter 15, verse 11, Jesus said the same thing that God said in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 29. These things have I spoken unto you. Jesus is talking to the people, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. So He's saying to us, I didn't give you my law. I didn't give you my commandments. I'm not speaking my word to you so that I can put you in some kind of religious bondage. I'm giving it to you. I'm giving them to you so that you can do what I've said, and your joy, you will have a fullness of joy, and you will be blessed. And not only will you be blessed, but your family would be blessed. Amen? I've seen some times that my wife and I had three children, and I've seen the times, and one of them was born on September 29th, and a year later, October 11th, almost exactly 1 year, our daughter was born, and then we had another bouncing blonde came along 10 years later. So, as we raise those children, and I think I've shared this with you before, they were typical teenagers, just like I was. And I wondered, what in the world am I going to do with them? I just had to turn them over to the Lord. Amen? And that's what we have to do. God will take care of them because He says it'll be well with them and with your children forever. Amen? And I did all I could do, but I realized that just like salvation came to me not because something I did other than put my faith and trust in God and act upon that, but I just trusted Him and then He took care of it. Amen? And that's what we have to do. We have to trust Him. So then I want to read to you 1 John chapter 4, verse 10. Herein is love. God saying, if you want to know where love is and how do you have love, this is where you're going to get it and you're going to get it and find it. You see, God tells us to love Him and then to love one another. He even tells us to love our enemies. I don't know about you, but I've found that to be a pretty difficult thing to do. It's not easy to love our enemies. As a matter of fact, it's almost just downright impossible. But God is telling us this, that this love that He wants us to have for one another and that is supposed to fill us, where we find it is right here. Herein is love. This is where love is, and He wants to tell you, first of all, in 1 John 4:10, herein is love, not that we loved God. It's not that we loved Him, because, you know, most of us, we'll be honest with ourselves, we didn't, before we ever came to know Him, we didn't really love Him. In fact, I didn't really want, even though I was brought up in church and religion, I didn't really want to have anything to do with Him. I couldn't understand why anybody really wanted to have anything to do with Him. I certainly didn't love Him. Amen? Are you with me? But when I come to know Him, herein is love. So this is where you find the love. Not that you loved God, but that He loved us. Amen? Before we can love God, and before we can have the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit which is given unto us, before we can love one another and even love our enemies, we have to have the love of God and receive and be recipients of that love. Then that's when we find love. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us. So we have to become recipients of His love. Amen? And when we become recipients of His love, then we're able to love God and And we can love Him because He sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. In other words, He's saying here that it's not by works of righteousness, Titus 3, 5, and 6. It's not by works of righteousness. It's not do's and don'ts of the law that we do, that we're saved and that God loves us. God sent His Son to die for us, and while even we were yet sinners. So He didn't come, as Jesus said, I didn't come to call the righteous. I came to call sinners to repentance. Amen? So the first thought that we should have when it comes to God is that, yes, we're not righteous, but He sent His Son to die for us so that we could become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And then we can have the love that God has. And I'm going to read Romans chapter 5, verse 5. The hope that we have in Christ is what he's talking about here in Romans chapter 5, verse 5. And it says, that hope, the hope that we have in Christ, maketh not ashamed. We're not ashamed. The reason we're not ashamed, we don't have to be ashamed when we come into the presence of God. 1 John 1:9 says, even if we've sinned, if we confess our sins, we have to come into His presence to confess our sins, right? And even after we're Christians, we sin. We still fall short of the glory of God. We don't love God with all our heart and mind and soul.
all the time. Are you with me? But we love Him because He first loved us. And because we have that hope that He loved us and that He saved us and Jesus took our sins and bore our sins in His body on the cross, now we have the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts, Romans 5:5, the love of God. Everybody say the love of God. It's not the love for God. It's the love of God. It's the love of God. It's the love that comes from God. It's the love that God gives us. Amen? That we become recipients of. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us. So it's the love of God that God gives us, is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. Verse 6, for when we were yet without strength, in the due time or at the proper time or at the appointed time, Christ died for the ungodly. He didn't die for the righteous. He died for the ungodly. Amen? Because there's not any righteous, no, not one. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Is everybody with me here this morning? Praise God. Now, so I'm going to go to, let's just see. Where am I going to go? I just want to read a couple more scriptures. I'm going to give them to you. 1 Corinthians 15:21. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. So I want us to know that while God wants us to know and to understand, through Adam, the whole human race was condemned. The whole human race, it went down the tubes through Adam and Eve because of their sin. That doesn't mean we're not accountable. We sin because another man sinned. It means that we're going to sin because we are of that human nature and we're going to sin. Amen? So, for as in Adam all die, verse 22, 1 Corinthians 15:22, for in Adam die, all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. So all that become recipients of Christ, but to many as St. John chapter 1, as many as verse 14, to as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. Amen? So to many of us as receive Him, herein is the love, we've received Him, and God's love is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So in Adam all die, but even so in Christ, everybody say in Christ, all shall all be made alive. So therefore the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 5:17, therefore if any man be in Christ, amen? So whenever I came or you came or we came or anybody comes, here's the good news. Jesus Christ shed His blood for you. Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son, died on the cross and took your place and took your sins in His body so that you might be saved, and that we might be saved. And if we act upon that at that moment, at that instant, no matter where we are, whether it's in a church or in an automobile driving down the highway or in our homes or wherever we are, the moment we said with our heart and spoke with our mouth, I believe that Jesus Christ died for me. He took my sins. He's my Savior. He's my Lord. I'm going to confess that I believe in Him. I put my trust in Him. I'm depending on Him. However you say it, you don't have to say those exact words. But anytime anyone comes to Him and says, Lord, save me, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, they'll be saved. So I believe that. And then we need to understand why we're saved and how we're saved, but that comes along with growth. But at that same moment that we say that, the Bible places us spiritually in Christ. Are you with me? In Christ. Therefore, 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. Amen? Amen. Praise God. So that includes all of us who have put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 56. The sting of death is sin. The sting of death is sin. In other words, the reason we know that we are sinners is because we have that sting of death. As a matter of fact, we can read in other passages of Scripture that death has passed upon the whole world because of all of sin, but it has not only just affected the world. If we read in 1 Corinthians and some other places in the Bible, it tells us that it's affected all of creation. If we look around us, animals die, birds die, the grass dies, flowers die. We're surrounded by death. We die. Because that's what Adam's brought upon us. But if we receive Christ, then we've been born again in Christ Jesus, then when death is to be absent, death is to be absent from the body. The James tells us, For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. So when your spirit, you're not a body, we're not a body, human beings are not a body, this body is the tent, the Bible calls it, the body, the shell in which we live in on this earth. We're a spirit being. God is a spirit, Jesus said to the woman at the well. God is a spirit, or the woman that he met. God is a spirit. He that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So that's the way we worship God. It's a spiritual thing. So when we read this, the sting of death is sin, and we see that all over the world. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, verse 57, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? So we have the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. Now the end of the commandment. So that's what commandment he's talking about, the Ten Commandments. The end of the commandment is charity, it's love, out of a pure heart. See, when we come to Christ, God sheds his love abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So now we have love, so the end of the commandment is love. We're not saved to be keeping a bunch of commandments, and I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with the law. The law brings us to Christ, and after it's brought us to Christ, it's accomplished its purpose. We understand that we are lost and that we are sinners because the law was given. And so then under the law, there was provisions made by the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world, so that people, when they saw that they had sinned, could have a Savior and come to him and be saved. Are you with me? People don't understand that. And we need to understand that. So the end of the commandment is love, or charity. That's what charity is, love, of a pure heart and of good conscience and of faith unfeigned, or not fakey faith. Now, he says, we know that the law is good if a man uses it lawfully. 1 Timothy 1, verse 8. But we know that the law is good if a man uses it lawfully. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man. You listen? That the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and the disobedient, for the ungodly. So here's what the law is for. And for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, and so on. It goes on and on and on. So that's why the law was made, because it wasn't made for righteous people who are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Are you with me? Okay. Mark chapter 2, verse 16. I'm just reading some scriptures here that goes along with the love of God, and so we can understand it. When the scribes and the Pharisees saw him, that is Jesus. Jesus didn't have any... Now listen to me. Jesus was not a religious man. Are you with me? He didn't come to call the religious or the righteous, and he says that very plainly. I didn't come to call the righteous, but I came to call sinners to repentance. Amen? So he didn't come to be religious. He came, he did keep the law. There's no question about that. He was perfect. Otherwise, he couldn't have been a perfect sacrifice for our sins. Amen? Are you with me? All right. So when this, he didn't associate with the scribes and the Pharisees, they hated him. They wanted to kill him. Ultimately, they were the ones that sent him to the cross, but they didn't kill him. The cross didn't kill Jesus. Are y'all listening? This is an important part. The cross didn't kill Jesus. When Jesus was on the cross, the Bible says he dismissed his spirit. He dismissed his spirit. He said to the thief, I think it was the one on the right-hand side, the thief said to him, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus said to him, today. As a matter of fact, in the next 2 or 3 hours, I'm going to tell you, you're going to be with me in paradise. That's the reason why when we die, we don't die. Amen. We go to be with him in paradise. And one day, well, are we going to be without a body? No, we're going to be in the spiritual realm, and the spiritual realm is more real than this physical realm if we come in touch with it, because we are spirit beings. God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him as spirit being. We are spirit beings, and we live in a physical body. To be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. Amen? As Christians. Amen? You say, brother, listen, why are you laboring on this? Because there's so many people who don't understand this. Man, I want you to understand this so that your joy may be full. If you're trying to save yourself, then your joy is not going to be very full, because you're a very busy person trying to save yourself. And if you're not saved, you can't have any joy of the Lord, because you're still trying to get the joy of the Lord. Amen. If you are saved, you have the joy. We have the joy of the Lord because the love of God and the forgiveness of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Amen. So we have the joy of the Lord. And the joy of the Lord, by the way, is our strength. Not the guilt of the law, but the joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen? And so he tells us the law is not made for righteous man. How many of you Christians are here this morning? Don't raise your hand. Just think about it. I don't want anybody to raise their hand. I think most all of us are, but I just want you to understand that if you are a Christian, then you're saved, and you're not lawless. You have the right, you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and you are blessed, and you need to understand that so you can enjoy the presence and the blessing of the Lord in your life. So going back to Mark chapter 2, when the scribes and the Pharisees saw him eat with the publicans and sinners, see, Jesus didn't come and dwell with the religious people. You hear me? Jesus came and dwelt with the publicans and sinners. Why? Because they were the ones that realized that I need him. Amen. The religious people didn't think we need him, because we're already religious. We're already keeping the law. We're already keeping the church commandments. We're already doing whatever. We're doing all of these things now. So Jesus didn't eat with those people. He ate with the publicans and sinners. And when the scribes and the Pharisees saw him doing that, they said to his disciples, how in the world is it possible that he's eating with and he's drinking with publicans and sinners? And Jesus answers the question in Mark chapter 2, verse 17. When Jesus heard this, he said unto them, this is what he was letting them know. They that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Amen? So if you want to get saved, the first thing you have to do is recognize you're lost. If we don't realize we're lost, we don't need saved. If we're trying to substitute our works and good works and our righteousness for the works of God and His righteousness, then we don't need to be saved because we are you under with me? This is so important to people, and Satan has used religion to destroy and pull down more people than anything else I can think of in the whole world. Because they think they're okay because of their religion. And you're not okay unless you're in Christ. Now, I want to go to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. I'm going to read some things here. 1 John chapter 4. I'm just kind of going to read through these and comment on them because I want people to hear this. A lot of people don't read the Word of God, so I want them to read. I want them to understand what the Word of God said. 1 John, that's a little book of 1 John. It's over in the back of your Bible, right in the back of the New Testament, way back at the back, close to the book of Revelations. 1 John chapter 4, verse 6. He's saying, to those of us that are Christians, we are of God. We've been born again of God. We are of God. That means God is our source of life. Amen? He that knoweth God hears us. He that is not of God doesn't hear us, hears us not. And this is how we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error because those that are of God hear what we're talking about. Those that are not of God don't understand what we're talking about and don't hear it. And they don't want to hear it because they've got their own thing. You with me? Beloved, verse 7, 1 John 7, let us love one another. Why? For love is of God. Now, it's not talking about if you love your husband, you love your wife. You know, you're supposed to do that. Or you love your children and all that. That's a natural thing. The love of God is what he's talking about here. The God kind of love is the love of God. That's God's love that is spread abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us, which gives us the power and the ability to not only love our husbands and wives and to love our children, but to love our neighbor and even love our enemies. That's what he's talking about here. Love, that kind of love. Let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knows God. You see that? All right. Verse 8. He that loveth not, that person that doesn't have that kind of love, does not know God. Why? Because God is love. Amen? God is that love. And the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by those of us who have been born again, so we love like God loves if we allow Him to love through us. He'll love through us. Amen? For love is of God. Verse 7, for everyone that loveth is born of God and knows God. Verse 8, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Now, this is what the Bible's saying. I'm just sharing with you exactly. I'm reading what the Bible says here. In this love, was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Not through the law, not through religion, but we live through the resurrected life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Verse 10. So herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. So if verse 11, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. That's why Christians have a common... That's why Christian people... I've met completely, totally Christian people that I didn't even really know, and there was almost an instant bonding. Because we had that love of God and that kindred spirit. Amen. I remember Corrie Ten Boom talking about, and some of you may don't remember Corrie Ten Boom, but I remember Corrie Ten Boom talking about she stepped off of a plane somewhere, a bus or train, wherever, in a strange country like Denmark or Holland or somewhere over there, Switzerland, she was somewhere in Europe. She stepped off the plane and got and was walking down the main street, and she didn't know a soul. And she said as she was walking along the side of the street there, the downtown area, she was walking along there, she met this person instantly. That person's spirit bore witness with her spirit. Hey, this is a child of God. And there was an instant opportunity for her to speak to, even though that person was a stranger in the physical realm, in the spiritual realm, it was a brother or a sister. And there was the connection. And when she spoke, they realized who she was. She realized, had already realized who they were. And that's the way the Bible, not only does God's Spirit, now listen, not only does God's Spirit bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, but our spirit bears witness with other children of God that they are the children of God. Amen? Amen. Praise God. That's a most wonderful thing, and it all comes about as a result of the Spirit of God and the love of God being shed abroad in our hearts. Hereby we know that we dwell in Him and He's in us because He has given us of His Spirit. Verse 15, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God. If you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, God dwells in Him and He in God. Amen. Verse 18, there is no fear in love. When I had a fear of God, didn't want to have anything to do with God. When I was saved, brother, I didn't fear God anymore. I had a love for God. And there was no fear in that love. But perfect love casteth out fear. Now, this perfect love is, I don't love perfectly. If my wife was alive, she could tell you that. I don't know of any couple that loves perfectly, that even loves their children perfectly. Sometimes when they're not behaving, we just kind of want to beat them to death. So we're not perfect. And that's, I'm talking to Christians now. So a perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love, but it's talking about the fear of God here, because we love Him because He first loved us. Verse 19, we love Him because He first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hates his brother, he's a liar, for he doesn't love his brother whom he can see. How in the world is he going to love God whom he can't see? Verse 21, and this commandment we have from Him, that he who loves God would love his brother also. I got 6 minutes. John 15, St. John 15, verse 9, and give you all the scriptures. First, St. John chapter 15, verse 9, Jesus is speaking. Everybody understand Jesus is speaking here. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue you in my love. Jesus is saying, just as my Father has loved me, I have loved you. You continue in my love. Everybody that's Christian, say, God loves me. Amen. He does. Amen. If we keep His commandments, His word. Now, I was going to say that we're not under the law of the law, but and you, that doesn't mean we don't keep it, because we're under the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, Romans chapter 8 says. So we have a lot more responsibility, because the Spirit of God that's living in us can tell us a whole lot of things, and we have to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit in order to remain in the Spirit. Amen? And He can tell us, I don't want you to do this, I don't want you to do that. It doesn't have anything at all to do with the law. It has to do with living with the Spirit of God in life, the Spirit of the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And it definitely doesn't need mean that we're without the law, because it's more powerful than the law could possibly ever have been, because He lives in us. Are you with me? So I don't want anybody to misunderstand saying we don't need the law. It's just we have the new law, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And if it's from the love of God and we have the love of God, then that law is fulfilled in us. And it's the Spirit of God that's working in us to keep the regular law, but not only that, everything in our lives to be spiritual. Amen. What commandment do we have from Him? That he who loves God love his brother also. 1 John 15, verse 9, So have I loved you, continue in my love. If you keep my commandments, you abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. So if you follow, and listen, as a Christian, if we follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit in our lives, we should have the fullness of joy. Amen? This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. So if we love one another, then we're fulfilling His commandment. And He not only tells us to do it, but He gives us the power with all to do it, because He says in Philippians chapter 3, I think it is, in verse 12 or 13, 14, somewhere in there, for it's God that worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it's God that worketh in you both to do, will and to do of His good pleasure. He gives you the will. He gives us as believers the will and the desire to do what He wants us to do, and we have the fullness of His joy. Amen. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Isn't that wonderful salvation? He said, verse 14 of Romans, St. John 15, verse 14, you are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth, I call you not servants. We're not servants. Everybody says, God, I just come, I want to be your servant. God doesn't want you to be His servant. He wants you to be His friend. He said, the servant doesn't know what his Lord's doing. I've called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father have made known unto you. Verse 16, you haven't chosen me, but I've chosen you, and I've ordained you that you should go forth and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. These things I command you, that you love one another. Amen. So love is the fulfilling of the law. The love of God and the love for God is to walk in the Spirit. And when I walk in the Spirit and we walk in the Spirit, it's the love of God that fills us with joy, and we have the power and the wherewithal to do whatever it is God wants us to do. Let's everybody stand. Amen. Now, I want to give you this closing verse. This is for the benefit of everybody that hears this. This is not just here. People are hearing me. In fact, I have a lot of ministers from Africa, colleges and universities, and teachers and professors and doctors of theology. They're on my internet. They're on LinkedIn. I'm sorry. And I'm not bragging on myself. I'm bragging on God. I never could have done anything like this. God does all of this. Amen. The reason I'm sharing this with you, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, Jesus says, and I will give you rest. Amen. Come to Him. Get rid of all your religious works. Just come to Jesus and put your faith and trust in Him. Come unto Him, He says. Amen.
Anybody wants to come to the altar for any reason, slip on out and come at this time. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this time together. We thank you for every precious person that's here and all of their family members that are represented by them being here. We lift them all before your throne of grace. Father, you know each and every one of us. You know all of our family members and our loved ones, those for whom we're praying, our children, our grandchildren, our aunts and uncles and nephews and nieces, Lord. And we just lift them all before your throne of grace. And we thank you, Father, that we can bring them before your throne of grace and lift their names before your throne of grace. And you know them perfectly. You know where they are, every one of them, and you know what's going on. And you said, Father, where two or more agree on earth as touching any one thing they would ask, it would be done. You're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So we lift them before all these family members and loved ones that we're all praying for. Father, we lift them before your throne of grace. And we thank you, Lord, that you're going to touch their lives. And you're going to deal with them so that they will have that opportunity to know that they need the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. We're going to claim them for you, Father, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen. Praise God. Amen. Thank you. Thank you for being here. Thank you, Lord.